Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Family Therapy, an Overview by Irene Goldenberg. In later editions associated with Herbert Goldenberg and Mark Stanton, is a comprehensive textbook on the theory, history, and practice of family therapy. Written for students and professionals in counseling, psychology, social work, marriage, and family therapy, and related clinical fields. It explains how family therapists understand problems as patterns within relationships, rather than as isolated individual symptoms. The book combines foundational concepts such as family systems theory and the family life cycle with chapters on major therapeutic schools, professional ethics, diversity, clinical research, and newer social construction approaches. Its purpose is not to promote a single model as definitive, but to give readers a structured map of the field and the reasoning behind different interventions. Case material, clinical examples, and practice-oriented features help connect abstract theory with therapeutic decision-making. While the broad historical scope shows how family therapy developed into a pluralistic clinical discipline, I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, systemic thinking as the foundation for understanding family problems, a central contribution of family therapy. The book presents family therapy as a shift away from locating distress solely inside one person and toward examining reciprocal patterns among family members. This includes attention to communication loops, boundaries, roles, alliances, feedback processes, and the ways families maintain stability while also adapting to change. The point is not to deny individual experience, but to show that symptoms often gain meaning within a relational context. For example, a child labeled as the problem may also be expressing tension in parental, sibling, or broader family relationships. The systemic lens changes clinical reasoning because the therapist asks what function a behavior serves in the family pattern, what responses keep it going, and how small changes in interaction can alter the whole system. This framework also helps readers distinguish family therapy from individual psychotherapy. The therapist is not only listening for private feelings or personal history, but also observing sequences of interaction, power arrangements, and repeated attempts at problem-solving that may have become self-defeating. Secondly, family development, diversity, and the changing definition of normal family life. The book gives significant attention to family development and diversity because family therapy depends on understanding families in context. Its use of the family life cycle framework helps readers see that families face predictable transitions, such as forming partnerships, raising children, launching young adults, caring for aging relatives, or reorganizing after separation and loss. These transitions can expose stress points when old rules no longer fit new circumstances. At the same time, the book avoids treating one family structure as the unquestioned norm. It discusses contemporary variation in family forms, gender roles, cultural backgrounds, socioeconomic conditions, and patterns of kinship. This matters clinically because a therapist who confuses cultural difference with dysfunction may misread the family problem or impose inappropriate goals. The text encourages students to ask how values, resources, social pressures, and family history shape what adaptation looks like. Its emphasis on diversity also broadens the meaning of assessment. A family is not evaluated only by whether it resembles a traditional model, but by how effectively it supports connection, autonomy, resilience, and problem-solving within its own cultural and social circumstances. Thirdly, comparison of major family therapy schools and their distinct clinical assumptions. A large portion of the book surveys established schools of family therapy, including psychodynamic, transgenerational, experiential, structural, strategic, behavioral, and cognitive behavioral models. Its value lies in showing that each school defines the problem and the therapeutic task differently. Structural family therapy emphasizes organization, boundaries, and hierarchies. Strategic models focus on interactional sequences and directive interventions that interrupt problem-maintaining patterns. Transgenerational approaches look at unresolved family legacies, loyalty, differentiation, and patterns transmitted across generations. Experiential models place greater emphasis on emotional expression, authenticity, and blocked growth. Behavioral and cognitive behavioral approaches attend to reinforcement, skills, communication, and problem-solving behaviors. By presenting these models side by side, the book helps readers see that interventions are never neutral techniques. They emerge from assumptions about how families change. This comparative structure is useful for training because it prevents beginners from treating family therapy as a loose collection of exercises. Instead, readers learn to connect assessment, theory, therapist stance, and intervention strategy. The text also acknowledges that some older models carry historical limitations, which encourages critical rather than purely celebratory reading, Fourthly, clinical practice, professional ethics, and the therapist's role in complex family systems, family therapy. An overview treats clinical practice as more than selecting a theory. It addresses the professional responsibilities that arise when a therapist works with multiple related people at once. Family therapy creates distinctive ethical questions about confidentiality, informed consent, alliances, record keeping, safety, and the possibility that one member may feel coerced or exposed in sessions. The book also discusses professional identity and training, helping readers understand the therapist's role within counseling, psychology, social work, and marriage and family therapy. This matters because the family therapist must manage a more complex clinical field than an individual therapist, several voices, competing definitions of the problem, shifting coalitions, and unequal power. The text emphasizes the need for a respectful therapeutic stance that does not automatically side with the most verbal, distressed, or socially powerful family member. Practice-oriented features such as clinical notes and case examples illustrate how therapists move from observation to intervention while maintaining ethical awareness. The result is a grounded view of family therapy as disciplined clinical work that requires judgment, transparency, and sensitivity to risk. Lastly, newer social construction approaches and evidence-based directions in the field. The book does not stop with the classic schools of family therapy. It also introduces newer developments, especially social construction models such as solution-focused therapy, collaborative therapy, and narrative therapy. These approaches shift attention toward language, meaning, client strengths, preferred futures, and the stories families use to understand their difficulties, rather than assuming the therapist is the expert who diagnoses a fixed family structure. Social construction approaches often treat therapy as a collaborative conversation that helps families generate new meanings and possibilities. The book balances this expansion with attention to clinical research and evidence-based practice. This combination is important because the field has long included creative, theory-rich models that vary in empirical support. By discussing research alongside practice, the text invites readers to ask which interventions have evidence for particular populations or problems, and how clinical judgment should interact with scientific findings. Its inclusion of population-based family treatments further shows that family therapy is not limited to private office work with broadly defined relationship distress. It can also be adapted for specific clinical concerns, community settings, and structured treatment needs. In conclusion, family therapy, an overview, is best suited for graduate and advanced undergraduate students preparing for work in counseling, marriage and family therapy, social work, psychology, and pastoral or community-based clinical settings. Its practical benefit is that it teaches readers to think relationally, to look for recurring interaction patterns, developmental pressures, cultural context, and the fit between theory and intervention. Its intellectual benefit is historical and comparative. Readers can see how the field moved from early systemic, psychodynamic, and structural formulations toward contemporary models that emphasize collaboration, diversity, and evidence-informed practice. Compared with many narrower family therapy books, it stands out for breadth and organization, rather than offering a manual for one technique. It functions as an overview of the discipline itself, including core concepts, schools of thought, ethics, diversity, clinical examples, and research concerns. Its main limitation is that some readers may find the coverage dense or more historical than immediately procedural. Still, that density is also part of its value. It gives students a durable conceptual framework for understanding why family therapists intervene as they do. If you would like to support Irene Goldenberg, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.